In this passage of Scripture, we have recorded one of the greatest parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the sower. A parable, we often teach the children, is an earthly story with an heavenly meaning. But in connection with this particular parable and the details of it, and it's not only recorded here in Mark, but elsewhere in the Gospels, the Lord made two great statements, which I think are rather interesting when we read them in our English translation. The first one is in Mark 4, verse 24. "And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear." Take heed what ye hear. But then, when we come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 18, our English Bible puts it like this: "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Take heed what ye hear. We must be careful what it is that we're listening to, especially when it comes to preaching. Very sadly, not all those who occupy pulpits and who stand behind the sacred desk preach the word. And it is a sad fact of life that in many so-called churches, folks hear the wrong things. And the Word of God teaches us that we ought not to place ourselves under that kind of ministry. A false message preached by a false messenger. But that second great statement that we read in Luke 8, verse 18, "take heed how ye hear," is also most important, and it is particularly what is in view here in the parable. The meaning of the story that Christ told of the sower who sowed seed on four types of ground is simply that there are four kinds of listener, four kinds of hearer to God's word. Or if you like, there are four ways of hearing the gospel. It is so important, of course, obviously, that what you hear be the word of God. But that in itself is not enough. That is not sufficient. Take heed how you hear. It matters so very much how we hear, because it is possible, as we shall learn in this particular parable, to hear God's word and not be God's. To hear God's word and to be lost at last and not to be with Christ in eternity. It matters so very greatly how you hear. We know that as the seed of truth is sown, there are some who do not hear as they ought to. I'm reminded of the words of Matthew, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking in chapter 7, another great parable of the wise man and the foolish man. And you read those words in the close of that Sermon on the Mount, from verse 24 of Matthew 7. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," so there's the hearing of the right message, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." So it's possible to hear the right thing, but not to have the right response. And it was the Apostle James who said, when he was writing his epistle in chapter 1 and verse 22 of that book, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." With this in mind, I want us to look at the parable of the sower. And we note that as the seed of truth, God's word, is sown, as it is sown through the preaching of the gospel, there are four types of hearer. And I want us simply to consider them together this morning. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 4 and in the interpretation of verse 15 of Mark chapter 4, that you have what I would call the careless hearer. Look at verse 3. Hearken, or listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now you go to verse 14 and verse 15. It says, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, as we read the parable, you may have noticed that in all four cases, the seed is the same. It's the same seed. And there's nothing wrong with that seed. Farmers tell me that sometimes they may get some seed which is inferior in quality. And we know that if we have a garden, even with my limited knowledge of those things, sometimes you get a batch of seed that just isn't good. And when you sow it, it doesn't have the desired result. But I want you to notice here that there's nothing wrong with the seed that is sown. It's perfect seed. And in the three instances where no fruit was born, the problem that we identify is with the soil, it's with the ground, and not with the seed. The problem is not with the seed. Notice again, verse 14 tells us the sower soweth the word. It's the word of God. It's the perfect word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, the psalmist says, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are right, enlightening the eyes, and so on. The word of God is pure. It is as silver tried in a furnace of earth 7 times. God's word is perfect. God's word is pure. And as we look at this parable, we see that the Lord identifies the 4 types of ground as being like 4 types of hearer. Verse 15 says, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. He would have us to note that there are those who have heard the word. Again, it's true of those in verse 18. At the end of verse 18, it says of those sown among thorns, they are such as hear the word. And then verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. So all 4 are hearers of the word. It's the same message in every case. The problem is not with the seed of God's word. The problem is with the sinner. The problem is with the human heart. And that is what our Lord would have us to note, among many other things. It is that there is a difficulty, there's a problem with 3 out of 4 of the types of ground that are in view here. In the first type of hearer, the careless hearer, I've called him, the word of God makes no impression at all. And there's a reason for that. It tells us in verse 15, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. We know that there are many who, for whatever reason, do not attend church. But the devil attends church. There is such a being as Satan. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus would never have talked about him. The scripture shows us very clearly, even in our Lord's own ministry, that the devil is not an idea. He's not just a concept. He's a person. A real being. Remember there in Matthew chapter 4, the encounter that our Savior had with the devil in his temptations. And there are many other instances that I could give. Here the Lord speaks about Satan, the wicked one. That's how he's described in another place. The wicked one cometh. The devil cometh. And he takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. The devil snatches the seed away as soon as it is heard. Just as in the parable, the Lord says in verse 4, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. That was trampled ground. The seed was lying on the surface of that ground, on that pathway, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. You know how that often happens with seed that is sown by farmers. There are fields all around where we live, and we always know when the farmers have sown seed because the place is filled with Canadian geese and they're in there getting what they can out of the field. The fowls of the air. And when you read of the fowls of the air in Scripture, in the parables, usually it's a reference to satanic activity. Now what is our Lord saying here about those who hear and Satan snatches the seed away? Well, really, the idea is of those to whom the gospel is that which goes in one ear and out the other. You know how we often say that about folks? Well, what you tell them, it just goes in one ear and out the other. They don't really retain it. And we have an example of this kind of hearer in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 18 and verse 17. The Bible tells us about a man who was called Gallio. And it says of him that Gallio cared for none of those things. And if you look at the context, it wasn't just that he didn't care about the things that happened to faithful Christians, but he didn't happen to understand or to want to understand what Paul was speaking about. The Apostle Paul here was teaching the Word of God. It says that in Acts 18, verse number 11. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. And look at their charge, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And before Paul was able to speak, Gallio said to the Jews in verse 14, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And it says in verse 17, he cared for none of those things. And I do believe there are many who hear sermons preached, who hear the Word of God taught, but they pay no attention to what is said. Perhaps it is the case that the devil brings other things into their minds, and in that way he snatches away the seed. Something that took place yesterday is very much on their heart and mind, or some matter that they hope to attend to tomorrow is on their mind. And so they are careless hearers. Luke's Gospel in chapter 8 and verse 12 puts it like this: "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts." But notice this: "lest they should believe and be saved." So that's what the devil opposes. He opposes conversions. He opposes the work of grace. Now we know about the sovereignty of grace, and we know all about the irresistible nature of God's call when he brings a soul unto himself. But nevertheless, the Scripture teaches us that the devil is busy about the matter of turning men's hearts and minds and ears away from the truth, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil doesn't want you to believe and be saved. That's very clear from our Lord's parable here, especially the rendering in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Lest they should believe and be saved. It's the same thing that is in view here in Mark 4 and verse 15. Satan cometh immediately, right away. to take away the seed that was sown. How sad it is that in our day many have no interest at all in the Word of God. And we know that many of the population are busy today doing other things other than worshipping God. We see that in the streets, in the neighborhoods, the developments in which we live. There are many, many people who don't go to any place of worship at all. And some who do go to the wrong place. They don't hear the truth. But those who do sit under faithful ministries, those who do hear the truth of God's word, many of them, it has to be said, are not convicted, they're not concerned, they're totally indifferent to that which they hear. And I pray that in my ministry God will give attention to the word, that He would cause men and women to pay attention to the Scripture, to pay attention to His word, that they might believe and be saved. And those of us who do believe and are saved ought to be praying for the word as it goes forth, that indeed the Lord would defeat the works of hell, that He would bind the devil, so to speak, in our services. That's a scriptural thing to pray. We should pray against the works of darkness. In Luke chapter 11 and verses 21 and 22, the Lord Jesus said, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils." There is one who is stronger than Satan and sin. And Satan to Jesus must bow. Well, let us remember this. The devil always comes to church, and he comes to snatch away the word out of hearts. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he made an interesting request, and one that I think every preacher ought to make of his people. He said this, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Pray that the word of the Lord may have free course. And the Greek signifies that the word may run. That it may run as upon wheels. That it may make progress in people's hearts. That's what we should be praying for. That God would bring about glorious results through the preaching of His word. As He has often done. And as He has done in our own hearts. Paul says, "Even as it is with you." The word of the Lord has had free course in your hearts. It has been glorified in you. It has brought forth fruit in you. So pray that it will be so in the lives of others. The careless hearer. This is signified by the seed that's sown on the wayside, on the pathway, and the fowls of the air come and devour it up. But notice in Mark 4 and verse 5 that he says, "And some," that's some of the seed, "fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth." Now that's the key phrase there. It had no depth of earth. I remember as a child, I used to think that when the Bible talked about the stony ground, that it was a bit like some of our yards that are full of stones. That's certainly true where we live right now. There's nothing but shale all around the place. Slate. I think that's why they call places Slatedale and Slatington and so on. Ground that's full of stones. You wonder how anything can grow in it, but it does. But that's not what's in view here. When it says stony ground, it means ground where there is rock, sheer rock underneath, and there's just a little surface layer of soil on the top. That's what's in view here, and that is signified by the words, "Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth or soil." No depth. Just a little layer of soil, and the farmer would look at that and he would think, "Oh, that's beautiful loamy soil will grow plenty there, but of course the seed has nowhere to go. There's rock underneath. And so it can never be rooted. And it tells us there in verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. I would call this the casual hearer. And by the way, the interpretation is in verses 16 and 17. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground or on the rock, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The casual hearer. I want you to notice here the word immediately. It says that in verse 5, immediately it sprang up. Again, you find it in verse 16, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But you'll notice that it withered just as quickly as it sprang up. Because, to use the words of verse 5, there was no depth. There was no depth. Have you ever heard it said of a person, there's no depth in that person? And you know what people mean when they say that. They're very surfacey. Everything's very superficial. And friends, there's a lot of Christianity, so-called, that's just like that. And it's merely on the surface. There's no depth to it. And I've known in my lifetime people who have very quickly made professions of faith and just as quickly have gone away again, and you never see them again. They have no time for the things of God. They have no time for the house of God. They're not interested in prayer or in the Bible or in any of the things that we would call spiritual things. And there are some who will mark such down as backsliders. They'll say they're backsliders. My father has a very interesting phrase that he often uses about such people. And he says, they're not backsliders. They never slid forward in the first place. You can't backslide from a position that you never held. There are true backsliders. Of that there is no doubt. But we're not talking here about backsliders. We're talking about those in whom no heart work has ever been done. There's been no real conviction of sin at all. No true repentance, therefore. Just a quick, little, easy profession. Some years ago in Scotland, we gave out some literature outside a Billy Graham crusade. He had come, you know, to change Scotland. And we gave out literature exposing the man and what he was about. But while we were there, we noticed that there was a lot of people came out after those meetings with their little cellophane bags, little plastic bags, like sandwich bags with literature in them. And they'd been told that they were now saved. I do believe the Lord can save people in those circumstances, but it's not because of it, it's in spite of it. But many people at that time made professions. And you just wonder, don't you? You wonder in certain circumstances, and it's not just in Billy Graham crusades that it happens, about empty professions with no real possession of Christ. You see, it's not just profession, it's possession. It's possession. That's what we need. Now notice how this kind of hearer receives the message at first with gladness. This is something we must really pay attention to. It says it there in verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. Remember, that's the sheer rock underneath a surface layer of soil. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Or if we compare the words of Matthew 13, the Lord uses this word, they receive it with joy. Matthew 13, verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, and that means immediately, with joy receiveth it. Joy. Gladness. Now, joy or gladness is an emotion. It's an emotion. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is and must be a place for emotion where our religion is concerned. The gospel doesn't bypass your emotions. The gospel deals with every part. The will, the affections, the understanding, the emotions. But listen to this. Folks may shed tears and not be saved. Again, don't misunderstand me. I like to see the holy water, not the stuff the Pope makes, but tears of repentance. That's a good thing. Tears of repentance. But you can have tears without repentance. Many may shed tears, and they're very emotional. But when you're truly saved, you're truly converted, you're truly born again, whatever terminology you want to use, it's not just your emotions that are affected. Not just your emotions. And if it's just your emotions that are affected and not your heart, you're not saved. When the Word of God gets deep into the soul, there's repentance, true repentance of sin, and there's a very real change that is wrought within by the Spirit of God. That's what our Lord would have us to know from this portion. He's telling us here that there's no fruit because there's no root in this instance. You know, anything that doesn't have a root doesn't grow. Some years ago, we went on a vacation, and when we returned, we noticed that there was something in our yard that wasn't there before. It was a beautiful flower. My father said he had found it in a nearby public place, and he wasn't stealing it. It was somewhere that was just growing wild, and he transplanted this and put it into our yard. But upon close examination, my wife discovered that it was an artificial flower. It was made of plastic. No wonder it looked so good. It continued to look good, even when it should have died. And we hadn't the heart to tell him, and we eventually did tell him. He had dug up an artificial plant and put it into our yard. But you know, there's a spiritual lesson in that. That's the way many people are. And they may have the look and they may have the appearance of that which is real, but it's only plastic. It's artificial. It's not true. A casual hearer does not have, as the old preachers used to call it, the root of the matter in them. That's what verse 6 signifies. When the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. If there's no root, you can't expect anything above the surface to last very long. My wife could tell you about this famous incident from my husbandry. Years ago, we had a small plot in the back of where our manse was in Belfast, and I'd gotten some seed potatoes and I had put them all out there, and boy, did they grow. I thought, this is wonderful. We're going to have a tremendous crop of potatoes this year. And I wondered that they grew so quickly. But anyway, when I dug them up, they were all little marbles, as we would say. Tiny little things. I think we got about one meal out of the entire garden. And there was a farmer in my church, and he told me immediately what was wrong. He says, there's too much nitrogen in the soil. And he says, what you have there is all tops. That's what we call them over there, tops. It's all plant and flowers, but there's no potatoes underneath. And again, there's a great spiritual lesson in that. And our Lord is teaching us here that that's what happened with this seed. It was all tops. And there was nothing underneath. I talk about the gladness just a couple of pages over in Mark chapter 6. we read of an example of this kind of hearer. And his name was Herod. Mark chapter 6 and verse 20 says, "For Herod feared John," that's John the Baptist, "knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him." It means he kept him or saved him. He looked after him. "And when he heard him," look at this, "when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." He heard him gladly. He liked the preaching of John. He enjoyed the preaching of John. He was somewhat entertained by the preaching of John. He knew that what John was preaching was true, and he tried to modify his life some way as a result of what he heard. He did many things. But of course, the state of his heart became manifest when it was put to the test. And when it came to the point where it was a choice between John the Baptist and his evil wife, he chose his evil wife and had John the Baptist killed. You can hear the gospel, and you can hear the gospel even gladly and not be saved. The casual hearer, you see, does not stand the test. Notice how our Lord puts this in the interpretation of this part of the parable in Mark 4 and verse 16 and 17. He says, "These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time." They seem to go on for a time. They seem to have the root of the matter in them for a time. A short time. A very short time. But it is for a period of time. "Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." If I might just give our Lord's rendering of this in Matthew 13, he explains it like this. He says, "They hear the word and anon with joy receive it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." For the word's sake, or because of the word, he doesn't go on. The price is too high. The path is too narrow. It's too difficult. And so he only sticks at the Christian life for a short time because he's not really a Christian. And that type of hearer is described very well by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 from verse 20. Listen, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And if you've a dog or you've seen a dog operating under certain circumstances, you've seen this. A dog going back to its own vomit. "The sow that was washed goes back to her wallowing in the mire." I believe it was Thomas Watson, the Puritan, who said there's all the difference in the world between a sheep and a pig or a hog. A sheep may fall inadvertently off the path into the muck, but he wants to get out immediately and get back onto the path. The hog deliberately leaves the path and gets down into the muck, because that's his natural element. The Bible doesn't teach that we're sinless when we come to Christ. But it does teach that we have a far different attitude to sin than we ever had before. The sow that was washed returns to her wallowing in the mire. The casual hearer. But let's move on. And we could think of the third type of ground. as it represents the carnal hearer. The carnal hearer. Verse 7 of Mark 4. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Thorns, of course, are first mentioned in Scripture in relation to the fall. Thorns and thistles the ground brought forth to Adam and his posterity because of the advent of sin. And I think that there's an application to that here. But if you go down there to verses 18 and 19, the Lord gives the interpretation of that part of the parable of the thorny ground. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now that can happen to some degree to a true Christian, but not on a permanent basis. The Lord is not talking here about a Christian who has difficulty with temptation and sin and is occasionally overcome, but gets right with God again and goes back onto the path. This is not in view here. When we look at the first three types of ground, it's not talking about three types of Christian. It's talking about three hearers who are not true Christians. And this kind of hearer, mentioned by our Lord, the thorny ground hearer, is taken up with this life. That's the key to it. This life. Wealth and the world and the things that are in it take all their attention. They are not willing to part with the world and all that is within it. And so God's word gets choked out. The seed gets choked out. I think one of the best examples, one of the clearest examples of a thorny ground hearer in the New Testament is found in the ministry of Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he writes of a man who was his former companion in preaching, and his name was Demas. And again, preachers who have said that Demas was one who was truly saved but just went back for a time, I don't believe that at all. Demas was not converted. Demas was not a true Christian. Why? Because 2 Timothy 4:10 records, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." And you compare that with what the Apostle John says about the love of the world. He says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so when you compare those two, you come to the conclusion that Demas was but a carnal hearer, and the thorns choked out the seed. And is that not the problem with many today? All their attention is on the things of this life rather than the next. Believers need to be careful of this, of course, that the world doesn't have our hearts. But I'm sad to say there are those who will believe, at least outwardly, all that the preacher says, and might even hope to be a Christian someday, but the world has too strong of an attraction. The world has too strong a hold upon their hearts. The world has more of an attraction for them than Christ does. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, as the Scripture puts it. Other things. All these other things that the Lord mentions will keep us from salvation. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 records those challenging words of our Lord Jesus, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The Bible teaches that the world and its pleasures will pass away. They will all pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh
unfruitful. The word doesn't get a chance because the heart is full of the world. That's the carnal hearer. But let's look at the fourth kind of hearer. And we're calling him the careful hearer. The careful hearer, because in verse 8, Jesus says, and other seed fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And in the interpretation, verse 20, he records, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now let me emphasize this. It's not the bringing forth of fruit that makes you a Christian. It's the bringing forth of fruit that proves you to be a Christian. That's what the Lord is dealing with here. It's the evidence. It's the reality of the work that has been done. It is proved by the bringing forth of fruit. And that's the constant and consistent message of the Scripture. Again, let me emphasize, all four of these hear the word. All four. They all hear the same message. But in only one case does it bear fruit. And it's this that sets apart a true believer from all the others. He bears fruit. Do all believers bear the same fruit? No, they do not. I think that's indicated by the difference between 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Does the believer bear the same amount of fruit in every time of his life? No, he does not. Sometimes he bears more fruit than others. But there's a consistent thing here. He is a fruit bearer. What good would a fruit tree be if it never bore any fruit? I know I've mentioned this before to our folks that we have two lovely peach trees in our yard. And sometimes they bear a lot more fruit than others. There are times when you get hardly any peaches off the tree, but there are some. There are other times when the branches are laden with fruit. And we like those years. But there's fruit. There's fruit. The Lord in His Word teaches us that those who are truly His bring forth fruits meet for repentance or works answerable to amendment of life. The fruit of the Spirit is produced in His life. Love, joy, peace, and so on. And we learn about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 6. The fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit and is produced in His life. The life of Christ lived out in the life of the Christian. And so, if you're a true believer, if I'm a true believer, there's going to be some evidence of that seen in our lives. There's going to be evidence. There will be fruit. Is it not an interesting thought that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, there were those who perceived that even though they were unlearned and ignorant men, they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's a wonderful statement. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Do folks take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus? It is not enough just to come to church, as we would put it. It's not enough to hear the word. Have you been, are you being changed by that word? Is the word having an effect upon your life and in your life? Have you truly received Christ as your Lord and Savior into your heart and life? Because if you have, the fruit will be there. Again, I might refer to another scriptures in Matthew chapter 7. The Lord Jesus actually used this terminology concerning false prophets. He said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." But he went on to say this. Matthew 7:17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit,
neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And then we have those fearful words concerning false profession. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Something more than just hearing the word is needed. There must be a bringing forth of fruit. The seed has to fall into good ground. It has to germinate and bring forth fruit as the evidence of a real work having been done. What kind of a hearer are you? The apostle in Hebrews chapter 4 said something very solemn about this kind of thing, about the hearing of the word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Listen carefully to this. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word preached did not profit them. It didn't do them any good. Because, as the margin indicates, they were not united by faith to it. There was no true faith there. And so their hearing did not profit them. They're still in unbelief. I pray that God would make many hearts to be the good ground, that they may believe and be saved. That's what the parable states in Luke's version of it, there in Luke chapter 8. And just a word to the believer. Remember, when you're giving forth the gospel, when you're giving forth God's word, there are differing responses to it. There are different types of hearer of the word. Not all are going to be saved. I think that's very clear from what our Lord is teaching us here. I don't think, as some have extrapolated from it, that, you know, one quarter of your hearers are going to be of this kind and another quarter like this. And that's not what the Lord wants us to imagine at all. But there are these types of hearers. There's these types of responses. All are not going to be saved who hear the word. And remember, the preacher, the evangelist, the missionary can scatter the seed, but he can't make it grow. He can't make it grow. And Paul recognized that when he said, it is God that giveth the increase. One soweth, another watereth. It is the Lord that giveth the increase. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. There will be good ground. If we're faithful in sowing the seed, if we sow beside all waters, as the scripture puts it, there will be good ground that will produce fruit. There will be those for whom Christ has died, whom the Spirit will work faith and repentance in and bring them to Christ. We should be encouraged when we read about the good ground, because there is such. There are those who hear the word. They do receive it. They do bring forth fruit in abundance to God's glory. And let us be sure that we are of those kinds of hearer. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Amen.